What's going on, everybody? This is the Mind of Watts. My name is Tuquan Watt. Today's date is October 26, 2018. As usual, I come through and bless you guys. What's on my mind on this day? We do got a weekend of sports, and we'll get to that on a weekend edition of the podcast, but got some things in my mind I want to discuss today. First thing I want to discuss today was anybody watching Thursday Night Football yesterday? Do anybody believe that the Texans are really that good now? That is the question, as the Texans have strung off five straight victories, a 42-23 victory over the Miami Dolphins. We kind of see where the Dolphins are going at, as opposed to where they was at the beginning of the season. And we kind of see the Texans coming high up. Feels like the Texans are starting to play as people expected the Texans to play. Deshaun Watson, whoo, what a game for him. If you started him in fantasy, you might have won the week with him. Maybe. Still got to play about eight players, you know. But anyhow, 239 yards, five touchdowns for that man. Give him a clap. Same with the five receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, 6 for 82, two touchdowns. Will Fuller, 5 for 124 and a touchdown. But I do want to say that I just got the news that Will Fuller is out poorly for the rest of the season with a torn ACL that happened on a potential second touchdown of the game for him. But due to a penalty, it didn't happen. And then I seen the AC. I said, damn, Will. It always happens to you, Will. Damn, always getting hurt. But now, that's something the Texans got to deal with. But in regards to the game, the Dolphins are starting Brock Osweiler. The Dolphins need Tannehill back if they're going to have to get... let me rephrase that. They need Tannehill back if they want to be anywhat decent, because what they're displaying right now is terrible. Now, they had a few shines of their own yesterday. Indeed, I can say that for the most part. Osweiler is just not the guy. Tannehill's the guy for this team. Now, though a lot of people say that Miami is trash, they're never going to be good. They're decent. But when you're playing an inferior defense like the Texans, which you got J.J. Watt, got Clowney, got Marcellus, got a nice core of cornerbacks, including a Honey Badger. There's nothing really you can do in this game. Miami came out and competed, and I'm going to give him a shout-out for that. Amendola threw a touchdown. Kendrick Drake had two touchdowns. Decent. Devontae Parker had a decent game, but this was kind of the better team was going to win this game yesterday, and the Texans did that. Now, the question is, has Watson found his groove? I feel like he's starting to find it again. You're starting to see him do a lot of the things he did last year in terms of moving out the pocket, creating his own space, you know, letting the ball fly. But I need to see this against better teams. I need to see this again against the Patriots. Even though he had a decent game against the Patriots, I need to see this against great teams. You see it against the Dolphins, and you're like, okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do. You were the number one rated quarterback coming into week eight. The Texans defense was number one because everybody kind of knew who you were already playing. And that's how I feel about Thursday night NFL football. It wasn't the prettiest game to watch, but you see some good things, see some bad things. And for the Dolphins' sake, hopefully Tannehill can come back real soon. Next topic now I want to discuss was the crazy night in the NBA. Had a few games on tap last night, and I enjoyed the two games that I was able to watch last night. First game I was able to watch was I was able to see the Boston Celtics somewhat find themselves and a 101-95 victory over the Thunder, which seen the Celtics for a good time of the game down. It seemed as if it was going to be another down night for the Celtics, who so far throughout five games have been up and down. You know, it's been a lot of things in regards to their roster and how they're going to play his minutes in that regard. But playing the Thunder was a good blessing for them towards the end of the game. A lot of things went bad for the Thunder in the stretch. Not to mention that Russell Westbrook shot 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter. Didn't seem like Russell Westbrook had a Russell Westbrook night. At a point, it seemed like he was being aggressive, but then he kind of slowed down. I feel like Paul George was more aggressive than Russell, and I don't usually say that about Russell. Russell's usually the hungriest guy on the court, but for some reason, he wasn't last night. But I want to give a shout out to the Boston Celtics on two counts. The number one fact is, of course, they stayed in the game. They kept pushing. The third quarter, that seen them score 40 points compared to the Thunder 23 in that quarter. And I honestly seen a few threes that kind of sparked the comeback, sparked the Celtics getting momentum. And that's Al Horford. And shout out to the Orson the Watch Show. That's me and Josh Orson's podcast. Catch that on Facebook. Catch that all around Facebook, actually. We discussed, and myself and Kerry, who was the Celtics leader? And I still say it's Al Horford. Because Al Horford has that veteran leadership. Now he doesn't have no NBA titles, but every team he's been on, he's been a leader, a proud citizen of the game. Goes out there every night, plays. You rarely hear him talk to the refs. You just see him go out there and perform his game. He hit a string of three threes in a row. And threes are better than twos in the NBA. And that gave the Celtics the juice. And when Al Horford gets a little bit of juice, the Celtics team can be better. Yes, I do say the Celtics are a big man away from really making noise. And I just say that because Al Horford, as age comes, the less effective I feel he'll be. But he's still smart on the court, which makes him still a great player. And that stretch of that game last night had me turning like, damn, the Celtics are really going to win this one. The Thunder fall to 0-4 on the season. Not good for them at all. Even though Westbrook just got back, the Thunder have no bench. Aside of Paul George, Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, and maybe Dennis Schroeder on certain nights, this team really doesn't have anything. For teams in the Western Conference who are stacking their teams, extending to improve, the Thunder have not done it. They have not done it at all. Yes, you signed Paul George to the great extension. Yes, yes, yes. And then you got Russell Westbrook locked in as well. That's not enough in the West. My friend Josh told me today, teams in the NBA nowadays need 3, 4, maybe 5 good pieces to compete for championships. And the way the Thunder are going doesn't look like that at all. I want to give a shout out as well to the Celtic Marcus Morris. Oh my God, he balls. He's a hooper. He's a guy. He's a goon. He's the certified goon that you need. That you can put in the starting lineup. You can put in the bench. You can play with the 12 through 15 players. That's going to bring his all and feel like he's the number one option on the court. I want to give a shout out to that man. But the Celtics win this game. If I'm the Thunder, I let this game go. Definitely let it slip. You're 0-4, and now you're looking in the Western Conference where you're going to be playing team in and team out all night, every night, just like the Celtics. Let's see if your pieces can get it together. Let's see if the bench can help the three people I named, possibly four. Schroeder, Westbrook, Adams, Paul George. Next on tap, Trailblazers got a victory over the Magic, 128-114. Damian Lillard went berserk in the second half, ended up with 41 points. It's a solid, solid game for him after a mediocre game before against the Wizards. And the Blazers still got a decent team. Their guards are still going to be the way the team goes. And if their bench players can provide, they're going to be able to win some games and make the playoffs again. Now, I don't think in my predictions, yes, I know my predictions in terms of standings in the West. I didn't have Portland getting in. But if Portland can remain to play the way they've been playing, they can get in. Solid, solid team. And the Orlando Magic is a decent team too. But Damian Lillard needed this game last night, and he let it fly, he let it blow, he did all that. Trailblazers 128, Magic 114. And another game that happened yesterday as well. No, is there any game yesterday? Sorry about that. Lakers, Nuggets. I said the other night, the Lakers got their first victory in the regular season against the Phoenix Suns. I said, that didn't count. My Lakers need to win against a good opponent. And good on a back-to-back, we played Denver. They was rested. They was ready. And early, I felt like they was taking the sticks to us, doing what I thought they would do. Jokic, I knew he would have a great game. I knew there would be no presence for him. And he proved that. 24-11. I feel like as the game went by, he a little gas at times. I feel like we contained him at the end, and that was the key to us winning last night. Lakers 121, Nuggets 114. But this was a good standout for my Lakers last night. Good standout in the way they play. LeBron James got his first triple-double. Shout out to him. Definitely. Kyle Kuzma in the starting role, 22 points. JaVale McGee, 21. 7 boards. Get a little bit up on the boards, but hey, JaVale, you coming to play. We seen Lance make him dance last night. Lance Stevenson, 12-4-4. We'll take that all day. Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball, just keep balling, guys. Y'all got some hungry guys. Ball, distributing, keeping the team afloat. He's seeing the floor like a motherfucker. That's my guy. And I'm going to wear my Triple B sweater today. Shout out to Big Baller Brand. Shout out to him. And to the fact that I can celebrate now. I can celebrate a real victory for my Lakers. This is the first real victory for Laker Nation. Guess what, Laker Nation? We're going to keep building on this. And we played some physical good guards yesterday in Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. Want to give shout out to them. All the Nuggets guards played great yesterday. Monte Morris, 27-3. That guy balled yesterday. Definitely. I got to give shout out what shout outs do. Malik Beasley came in, you know, did some good things, you know, not in points, but he did some good things on the court. But Gary Harris and Jamal Murray are two underrated guards. Watch out, NBA, for them two. The Nuggets are going to make noise because they got Jokic, but them two guys on a nightly basis, they're going to put up numbers. That young backcourt tandem, I had to give a shout out to him yesterday because the way they was playing, Jamal Murray makes you come out of play. Because he's a guy, if he gets hot, you got to watch out for him. Well, give a shout out to the Nuggets, but it just wasn't your night, Denver. You know why? Because LeBron, Kuzma, Ball, Luke, Lance, and never mind that my man was there, Kobe Bryant, the Mamba. You had to put it down when the Mamba is there. And that's how I feel about it. Thank you, LA. Thank you for making it a great Thursday night. Keep rolling. And we'll be all right, Laker Nation. Oh, forgot. There's another game last night as well. It didn't go as well for the Cavaliers and Detroit Pistons got the victory last night, 110-103 over the Cavs. Andre Drummond went out his mind, 20-20 game. Want to give a shout out to the Detroit Pistons. They're 4-0, even though it's early. And want to give a shout out too for my uncle because he likes the Pistons too. Let's see if the Pistons can keep rolling. I do apologize for people that are paying attention and listening to the podcast. I didn't mention the Pistons. For the Detroit Pistons fans, maybe with the coaching change, maybe there's a new culture in Detroit. We all know there's no new culture in Cavalier land. I heard the other night tickets was as low as $2 for their game against the Nets. First off, move me to Cleveland so I can be a season ticket holder. And two, put me on the team. Or three, both. play me half of the season, give me tickets for the rest of the season. The Cavaliers stink. Tristan Thompson, you stink. Kevin Love got hurt. The Cavs just stink. That's all. We do have some NBA games on the schedule today, though, and I would like to discuss them and give predictions to them all, if I may, on the Mind of What podcast. Today's games start off at 7 o'clock, starts with Bulls, Hornets, 7 o'clock, Mavericks, Raptors at 7:30, Warriors go to MSG to play the Knicks. And for the Knicks' sake, they better be ready to put a ton of points up because Steph Curry and the Warriors are. You got Clippers versus Rockets. I believe CP3 is back tonight and he's playing the Clippers. How great is it that you got suspended against the Lakers and then you had to miss two games? And then you got to go play the Clippers, in which last year you tried to get them from the backside in the locker room. Hopefully, Chris and the Rockets can survive because James Harden will not be playing on this stand, and he will be reevaluated before their road trip. He's having hammy issues. That's at 8 o'clock. Bucks versus Timberwolves tonight. That's at 8. Should be a good one. Nets Pelicans at 8 o'clock as well. And then you got Wizards versus Kings to wrap up the NBA night. 7 games. And myself, I'm going to give you my predictions on tonight's games. Want to give my prediction first off on the Bulls Hornets. Bobby Portis is out 4 to 6 weeks for the Bulls. So that's going to hurt and sting a little bit because he's a hard player. He plays hard. Had to look both rosters in the eye. I want to give a shout out to Zach LaVine too. He's been hooping. First guy since Jordan, I believe, put up 3 straight 30-point games. That's incredible. Incredible. But tonight, I'm going to give the edge to the Charlotte Hornets. Now, the Charlotte Hornets playing pretty okay this season. Not much I think of them. But I think they'll pull this game up against the Bulls tonight. It's my early prediction on it. Hornets beat the Bulls. Should I predict the Warriors versus the Knicks? Let's bet the over. The over? I say over 225. But the Warriors are going to win this game tonight against the Knicks. The Knicks are just going to show up. Spike Lee's going to show up. Somebody's got to show up for the Knicks, and I don't know who that's going to be on the roster. There's no Chris Porzingis against the Warriors. And the Warriors are not only going to come to MSG, but they're going to put on an opera. Something real Phantom-like. Warriors are going to win tonight. Mavericks and Raptors. The Raptors will continue their ways and they will win. There's no answer for Kawhi Leonard over there in Dallas. Dallas just gave up a 26-point lead the other night to the Hawks. Do you really trust the Mavericks? The Mavericks are young. They have a young team. But they're not ready for these type of games yet. Raptors will win tonight. Clippers versus the Rockets. No James Harden tonight. CP3 will have to control the helms against the OT. Mind you, Patrick Beverley. Oh, my God. Woo! I said a few minutes ago that Chris Paul is playing the Clippers. And guess who's playing with them this year? He didn't play last year because he got hurt. Patrick Beverley's going to be all on his ass. With a first game back, Chris. I'm going to take the Clippers over the Rockets tonight in an upset. It's not an upset because with James, it kind of makes the teams kind of even. Let's see. But I'm going to take the Clippers over the Rockets. That's how I feel. Timberwolves at Bucks tonight. Should be an interesting game. You know who the Wolves got on their side. And the Bucks have been playing pretty well. Giannis has been playing pretty well. Chris Middleton's been playing pretty well. Their guys on the bench are playing pretty well. The Bucks, maybe they can build some traction this year. Mike, I forgot before the season started that they got Mike Budenholzer as their coach. That might set them in the right direction. And when you're playing a team like the Timberwolves, you want to beat a team like this because they have a great team. When you look at the roster, you're like, damn, Cat's nice. Jimmy Butler's nice. You'll take Wiggins. Teague's nice. Derrick Rose. It's decent. But in tonight's game between these two, as much as I want to take the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves were playing great, I would take the Timberwolves. I like Cat to ball out tonight. Cat will ball out tonight. Cat has not been having a great season thus far, but Cat's going to ball. I'm going to take the Bucks though. But if the Timberwolves win, then that's wrong on my prediction. I'm going to take the Bucks tonight. Nets versus Pelicans. The Nets will play harder than the Knicks will play against the Warriors. But I'm going to take the Pelicans in this one. Anthony Davis will walk his way to some type of stat line. That's crazy. The Pelicans will win. And that's all I got to say about that game. Pelicans will win. Too much AD. Too much AD. Wizards versus Kings tonight. After John Wall and Bradley Beal let Steph Curry bust their ass, they will be looking to bust the young Kings' ass tonight. That's exactly what's going to happen. You have to take your emotions on somebody, and the Kings are going to get the ass whipping tonight. They will keep the game close, but I think John Wall and Bradley Beal coming for something way more than just a basketball game tonight. They're coming to whoop some ass. Wizards will beat the Kings tonight. That's my predictions for NBA Friday night, October 26th. World Series Game 3 tonight moves to Sunnyside, LA. Boston Red Sox up 2-0 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. What have the Dodgers done wrong in the last few games? And my mind has come down to coaching. Alex Cora is a better coach than Dave Roberts. That's what went down. We won't throw in that it's too cold to be playing baseball. I said it. It's too cold to be playing baseball right now for anybody. And that's crazy that the Red Sox, they should have baseball go from the spring to the end of the summer. Because in my mind, it's just too cold. But let's get to game three tonight. Like I said, it moves to L.A. And L.A.'s going to have to even out the score because it hasn't looked good so far for them. The last thing you want to do for a team that's going back to the World Series after losing the year before is to get swept. I'm hearing a Red Sox sweep from a few of the Red Sox fans that I know. I honestly don't think it'll be a sweep. I think the Dodgers will be much more competitive on their side of the town. Shout out to all the Los Angeles markets that changed their name from recently named Boston Market. Now it's temporarily, but I found that funny. The Dodgers, it's not funny. It's no time for games. Now the fans are playing games. It's time for y'all to really get in the trenches. Y'all most likely are going to have to start Kershaw again on this side of town. So you better be prepared for this. Good thing for the Dodgers, though, is Red Sox player J.D. Martinez may not participate in Game 3. Now he's a DH, so he's going to have to play a position at the park. Is he healthy enough to play a position? And that's a question that the Red Sox are going to have to deal with, but they have some guys who can fill it in. That's all they've been doing all season, is filling in the blanks. You cannot let this Red Sox team early get runs on you, Dodgers. You have to stop that early. Now, I'm not a pitcher. I don't know what the hell to do. You're supposed to throw strikes, but it doesn't seem like the Dodgers are throwing any balls that the Red Sox can't hit because they're hitting them all. Got to stay consistent. If the Red Sox do score, you got to match them. Your pitcher has to match them too. You have to affect your bullpen much better than you have the first two games, LA. That's as simple as it is. My prediction tonight is that the Dodgers will win Game 3. They have to. If you go down 3-0, it may not come back to Fenway. And I'm not saying that you're going to get swept, but it'll be close to it. Dodger Nation, if you're a Dodger pimpin' on your blue hat, say you're a Crip today. And if they ask you why you're a Crip, say you're a Crip because you need the Dodgers to win bad or else the Bloods are going to come get me. Nah, I'm just playing, but gotta stop the Red Sox, man. They've been red hot this year, man. And being from the area, man, shit, man. I ain't got nothing negative to say about the Red Sox. Red Sox been playing all but great. Minor watts. Damn. Is it true? Well, if Woj puts a bomb on it, then it's, guess it's true. The Houston Rockets are looking into giving 4 future first round picks to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for Jimmy Butler. Now that may include some players too. But Houston, woo! Are they seeing a problem there? Are they seeing a team that may not get to where they got to last year? Because that's bold. Now, for anybody that don't know, that's not 4 first-round picks this year, next year, next year. It's not like that. But it's 4 future first-round picks for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler to the Rockets would make the Rockets, woo, make them very, very good. Now, I don't care who they got on the bench. If they got them and then they got him, along with Capella, Harden, Paul. You keep P.J. Tucker, of course, because he's a defensive horse. You're not getting rid of him. And you got Carmelo on the bench, and then you make up what you make up with it. Okay. Simply, what it comes down to is Minnesota hungry for it? Now, I'm hearing that they're not going to bulge on it. From Minnesota, I bulge on that. Why not? You feel like you didn't get a fair share of the deal anyway that sent Jimmy Butler to you. Now you got marketing and LaVine playing great now. And you wish you would have kept him probably. Jimmy Butler to the Rockets would make definite sense. Rockets, keep pushing it. Now don't push it past 4 future first round picks. We go get him. Minnesota, make Jimmy Butler happy and move him. So that players like Cat can stop being happy again, because he hasn't been happy this season, and that Jimmy Butler's shit has had an effect on him. I think it's crazy, but I think it's bold at the same time for the Rockets to do that. They need somebody that if Harden's going to get hurt and CP's going to get hurt, at some point he probably will get hurt. Go get that guy. Houston's going for it now. Houston wants it all. They want to feel how they felt when they was in Clutch City in the 90s, mid-90s. Akeem Olajuwon and them guys winning championships. They want championships. And the Rockets are going to do, from what I'm seeing in Daniel Murray, he's going to do whatever it takes to go get one. The question is, will the Minnesota Timberwolves just say, we'll bow down gracefully and we'll give Jimmy up? It'll be a good situation for Minnesota. It'll be a good situation for the Rockets. And most importantly, it'll be more good for Jimmy Butler. Now, mind you, they're going to have to sign Jimmy. But look at it. You have committed players already under contract. You can go there and tell them that. We have Chris Paul, committed point guard. We have James Harden, committed two guard. We got P.J. Tucker, a committed defensive player that knows his role. We got Clint Capella, a guy that knows his role. We got guys on the contract. How more persuasive do you got to be to Jimmy? Jimmy wants that. I know Jimmy wants that. So Minnesota, give it to him. Now I want to get into some NFL games for Week 8. Few games that I skimmed through and I like. So I want to discuss some of them. Early preview of Week 8, I should say. First off, we got Saints, we got Vikings. 8:20 on NBC. It's going to be an epic game. Last year's game in the playoffs was epic, in which Minnesota won on the Minnesota Miracle. Case Keenum's not there no more. The Vikings got Kirk Cousins. $84 million guaranteed. But from all perspectives, Maybe it wasn't worth that much. Has he really been the difference maker in Minnesota so far? Not as of yet. But this game will kind of bring it out in Kurt. This is a game where the cameras are going to be all on you on Sunday night, Kurt. Like, Kurt, we looking for you to ball up. Minnesota's got to bring it. Now, their defense has been up and down all season. But playing this team and the Saints will make that defense come alive. Playing the team at Minnesota will make the Saints defense want to play. Kurt's going to have a good game for the Vikings. They're going to have to continue that running game. Latavius Murray's been holding it down. Let's see if Dalvin Cook plays Sunday. We know Dylan's progressing as one of the top receivers in the league. He's coming down the list. All the games this season's had 100 yards. This dude's straight balling. Give him the rock. Stephon Diggs, you got to come out and play too. Kyle Rudolph, you're going to have to come play. Minnesota defense getting Everson Griffin back. Hopefully he can play. That's good. Minnesota, you got to do what you can do, baby. Let's see it. On the same side, that defense cannot let up to Minnesota's offense. Don't get behind early. Drew Brees, operate the offense. Alvin Kamara is going to have a good game for these Saints to win. Alvin Kamara, I feel like since Ingram's come, he's kind of digressed a little bit, but hey, it's been a few games. Played a few good opponents. Alvin Kamara, I expect to come through and pay some homage to the football field. Saints defense, you need to come in. Do your thing. We know with Drew Brees. Drew Brees is going to come in and do what he got to do to try to survive and win this game. I don't see Drew Brees being a problem if the Saints do lose. See that defense or that running game not coming to play. It's going to be an exciting game Sunday. Second game I want to go to. Packers versus the Rams. The Packers are 9.5-point underdogs simply because they feel like it's only Aaron Rodgers they got to play against. But hey, you got to remember at the end of the day, it is Aaron Rodgers they're playing against. And in the NFL, anything can happen on any given Sunday. Rams haven't lost a game yet, which every week goes into, the pressure keeps mounting as you don't lose no games. The opponent gets bigger and bigger every week, even if they're not the most impressive opponent. And that's what the Packers are, the less impressive opponent. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers, I don't know in a lifetime where Aaron Rodgers has been underdog like this. So I'm going to just say this early. Aaron going to come play. Will it turn the Packers season around? Maybe. But a win like this for the Packers against the Rams, who are rolling right now, and I don't think the Packers defense is going to stop Todd Gurley. I don't think they're going to be able to stop the Rams offense. But with Aaron Rodgers over there, the Packers can score. You got to keep scoring. You got to keep scoring with them. Hey, put the defense out. Hey, defense, put the gloves down. We know it's not going to be a good day for you guys. Aaron got to go out there and sling. One leg or not, you got to go over there and go get it, Aaron. And I think you will Sunday. And I give my predictions every Sunday. Usually give them on Facebook. Give the Mind Watts podcast some love in that too. So Sunday, stick and tune in. I do give predictions on the NFL games and who I think is going to win. So stay tuned for that. But for the Rams' sake, the Rams are going to lose this game if they beat themselves. Because like I said, the Packers' defense is, their defense is going to give a lot. You see what San Francisco did last week. The Rams just have to keep the gas pedal, you know what I'm saying? Their feet on the gas pedal. And hopefully it'll be some good sides for them. If Aaron Rodgers can attack that defense again and again, then it might be a problem. It's going to be a good game. It's not going to be a blowout, I don't think. As long as you got Aaron Rodgers, you got to think that Aaron Rodgers can hold it down. And don't forget, he has people to pass to. Jimmy! Come play. Devontae, come play. Randall Cobb, Jerome Allison, they've been practicing this week. Play. Ball. And Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, whoever's going to be running back. Help Aaron out.
Because Aaron Donald, Donovan Kasua, and those defense guys, they're not putting their hands down. I'm sorry. If this one line is not going to put their hands down, it's the Rams defense. So there you go. Another game I'm interested in this week, Jags and Eagles. For the sake of the Jags was almost in the Super Bowl last year, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. The Eagles don't look like themselves this year. The Jaguars definitely don't look like themselves this year. Blake Bortles versus Carson Wentz. Of course, you're taking Carson Wentz. But can Blake Bortles have a good bounce back game against the Eagles defense? Signing Carlos Hyde helped them out a little bit. Interested to see what Blake Bortles can do with this offense now, because now it comes back to the original question that has always been. What can Blake Bortles do? Because obviously, everybody's lost faith in him again. Last year was like, we're going to ride with him, he's hot. I mean, hey, ride with him, he's hot. But now, it's kind of hot potato. And it's going to be good to see. It's going to be exciting to see, because that game's at 9:30. It's from across the country. Let's see what Blake Bortles can do. Let's see if that defense can get back on his feet too. They've allowed some crazy points the last few weeks. Let's see if Jalen Ramsey can do some work. Let's see if these guys can get their defensive groove back and compete against a Philly team who is coming in. Definitely need to win as well. They let a game go last week from the, you know what I'm saying, from them against the Carolina Panthers. I expect Wentz to have a better game. I expect him to be more smart on the football field. It's gonna be a good game to watch. I think it could be a low scoring affair due to the fact that you got to respect both defenses. It's gonna be an interesting game to open your morning up. As soon as you open your eyes, go brush your teeth, you know, put some vitamins in your body, food, however's way you there to get healthy and stay healthy and enjoy the 9:30 game. That's my quick little things that I'm scheming on, and I'll give more depth and predictions when Sunday comes. Mind the watts. Just want to end the show on this note. It was actually pretty funny. But I laughed at it, and I laughed at it some more after reopening it on my webpage. David Stern reportedly called Pelicans general manager lazy, and eventually he says he's going to lose Anthony Davis for nothing. Everybody, officially mark this right now. Get all your bags and stuff ready for Anthony Davis. Now, I watched First Take this morning, and a point was made. Point was made basically by Stephen A. Smith saying, if the Rockets are going to give all the marbles to Minnesota for Jimmy Butler, why not go throw those marbles to the Pelicans and Anthony Davis? Now, Alvin Gentry said he's not trading Anthony Davis for nobody, not even Beyonce. If I'm the Pelicans GM, I'm not only trying to give Davis everything, including, you know, everything you got, I'm trying to do something. Because eventually Anthony Davis is going to leave and everybody's going to wonder where he's going, and we'll leave that question for when it comes. But I just feel, honestly, that David Stern saying that. Mind you, David Stern is the guy that vetoed the Chris Paul trade. Chris Paul was supposed to be a Laker, and eventually it didn't happen because he felt that that was the way they're going. They ended up with Anthony Davis, so David Stern was kind of right at that time, I guess. Fuck David Stern at that time, I guess. But, Anthony, the clock's about to start ticking, buddy. And we're about to start hearing a lot more of Anthony Davis in the news, because he's going to be the next big man, big fish, that leaves New Orleans and joins an NBA powerhouse. That's where he's going. He's not going to anywhere else but somebody that he thinks is going to be an NBA powerhouse for not only 1 year, but years to come. My name is Tuquan Watt, Mind the Watts Podcast. Do thank everybody that listened today. Tune in to me on Sunday, as I will have a podcast strictly on the NFL and the predictions for Sunday. Hope everybody enjoyed your day. If you didn't listen, you take a listen here on Anchor. Take a listen live on Facebook as well. and all the platforms that stream Anchor Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, such and such. I will post links up anywhere. I'm accessible. Facebook, Tuquan Watt. Twitter, at Tuqueezy. Instagram, T_Watt88. Till next time, everybody. Y'all be cool. And if it ain't loud, you ain't hearing from me. Tuquan Watt. Mind the Watts podcast. I'm out.